Okay, Rabbi Yisai. Interesting to relate what Rav Dessler fondly remembers regarding something that when he's growing up at the age of 9. It's kedai just to quote a couple of lines from his writings. Rav Dessler already pointed out that already at a young age, there's a derech in Avodas Hashem which mandates that a person takes the energy of the Yetzer Hara, which persuades him and entices him in the wrong direction, is to take those energies and to challenge them and to use it in a positive way. So one may have koiches, let's say negative forces from the Yetzer Hara, but the idea is to take that energy that has been created and push it to channel it and to use it in a positive way. And he says that when I was at the age of 9, should remember that Rav Dessler lost his mother at a very young age. She was something like 2 years old. And his father remarried. And that was the only mother that he knew, which was the second wife of his father. But she was so good to him and actually raised him in a way that even a real mother would not be able to do a better job. And whenever he has the opportunity and the occasion is to remember his mother in tremendous ways, tremendous praises, and how he credits her for all the Messias Nefesh that she had in his growing up. So he just writes here, interesting, some of the things that he remembers when he was a young child. So he writes, Kesher Yisi Ben Teisha. He writes, it's in page 24, happens to be in the volume Aleph. Mechtam Eliyahu, Kesher Yisi Ben Teisha, he says, when I was 9 years old, he said, Asis Nahagu Abimori V'doidi Rabbi Gedalia. So the minig was between my father and my uncle, Hatzadikim Chreirim Levrocha, Shoyukomim Bilele Shabosois Bechatzois Laila. I remember, he says very fondly, he says, how my father and my uncle would sit and learn Bechavrusa. Friday night, he would get up at Chatzois and learn the entire night. Ve'osku b'toyre yachad adat fila. The entire night till davening, till 9 o'clock. So it's from Chatzois till 9. Ara Tfili says, Kemoitesha Shois, long something like 9 hours. So he says, I was 9 years old. Vegamani Kamti Lazy Shois, he says. I also got up for a few hours. He also got up. My father got up. My uncle was there. I was only 9, but I also got up to learn. He said, Kama Shois, a number of hours. He says, and my father learned with me a little bit. And also he says, Vegam Ima Hatzadekis, Olei Hashoham. That's referring to his father's 7 wife, but that's his mother. Tim, that's his mother. And my mother, the Tzadekis, he says, also got up. Hear this? My mother, the Tzadekis, also got up Friday night. Koma Valomda, Medrash. She was learning Medrash. Ramban, Umalbin Bepashas Hashua. She said, I'm going to learn this. So talk again. And he writes, Vekashi Koma, and when my mother got up, he says, Kiyontif. To me, it was a yontif. I was 9 years old. My mother got up. Why was it a yontif? Tell you why. Kikibdo yisona b'kafei cham v'levivo. He says, Mafa, he says, Tanor, and she would give Givaldi Galatkis, Shoy nifloi ma'oid b'tama. 9 year old. Givaldi get good tasting, he says. No. Sit. Coffee. Latkis. He says, now, I want you to know, though, I enjoyed, he says, I enjoyed the coffee, I enjoyed the drink, I enjoyed everything that she made, what she baked, but I wanted to know, v'ine ikar hakima hoysa l'shem alimut. But the reason I got up, he says, is really for learning. However, he says, halavivo is, but the latkes harachele godly, says, in the zrizes hakima, getting up quicker. I would have gotten up anyway. But knowing that there's something waiting up there, he says, this coffee, he says, and the food that my mother prepared. And then he writes that this is the idea. So what's the nekudah? The nekudah is, so Avada, he's going l'shei mitzvah. That's his main kavana. But he takes, he says, the side benefits, right? Even the gashmizg side benefits, that helped him out. He challenged it for the sake of learning, l'maisa. So he's able to get up and learn a little bit better, a little bit quicker. This was something that he points out in the essay. To take, he says, iyonim that the yetzahara, right? Tries to talk into something, but use that for a better purpose. In order to be able to learn, which was the situation in his case. When Dessler goes to Keln, it comes out at that time, it was like something like, you know, in his teens, early teens, was a baki many, many mesechtas in Shas Baal Peh, actually. And the interesting thing was, when he already mastered, sort of like mastered Reif Shas, so he was close, and he befriended the great Mekubal. Who is that? That was Reb Shlomo Eliashiv of Shavel. Shlomo Eliashiv was a grandfather of Reb Eliashiv. He was known as the Leshem, because of the Sefer Leshem Shvoi Vachlomo. Leshem Shvoi Vachlomo is a Sefer, a Kabbalah Digi Sefer. And Rav Destel befriended this great Baal Mekubal. He says, Reb Shlomo Eliashiv. And he said that Reb Shlomo Eliashiv saw, he says, the great amount of knowledge, the vast amount of knowledge that Rav Destel acquired, so he offered. He says, the Baal Leshem, Reb Shlomo Eliashiv offered Rav Destel that he's going to teach him Kabbalah. Lamaisi says, Rav Destler, this was not something, you know, my yeshivas, this was not something that was, that a yeshiva bach would aspire to. It's not part of that curriculum. So Meli sort of like, he evaded it. He evaded the opportunity. But he mentioned that, Achekach it's tzar kol yomov. He always had tzar. Because he lost that opportunity to be able to learn Kabbalah from such a great Baal Mekubal. He had tzar all the time, that he lost that opportunity. And Lamaisi said, but what did he do? He didn't just sit back and have tzar. What he did was, he began on his own to take all types of different svarim on Kabbalah to be able to acquire a very, very solid knowledge in Kabbalah, for all different types of svarim on Kabbalah. He dedicated a great portion of his time to master Kabbalah as well, and he did. And b'miyuchad, he also did a lot of learning, interesting, in Toiris Chabad. In Toiris Chabad, the Chassidus of Chabad. As a matter of fact, once he even went Beferish to especially made an asiyah to the Rebbe Rashab, right, with Shalom Ber, in order to be able to discuss various inyonim of Kabbalah. And in fact, that it is very well known. Rav Destel was a tremendous Boki in Tanya, and he brings Tanya quite a bit in his writings all over. And then from there he spreads out into areas further and further, in the Kizvei Arizal and so on and so forth, which is a Dover Yedua. He had a strong, strong koyach in Kabbalah as well, in the world of Kabbalah. It turns out that from time to time, he especially make a trip to Vilna, because Reb Chaim Oizer, the Gadol HaDor, was his uncle. And of course, he didn't lose that opportunity to be able to learn and to be able to be with his uncle. So he would, from time to time, he would travel to Vilna to be in the presence of Reb Chaim Oizer and to speak and learning. And Reb Chaim Oizer Lamaisa had tremendous chavivis to his Rav Destler, because of course he recognized, he even wrote it in a letter, he recognizes the great kishroiness, he says, the talents that Rav Destler possesses. And as a matter of fact, in the Shalzachuvis Achiezer, Chelik Beis, and Mendalad, there's a particular kasha that Rav Destler asked him, and he writes a tshuva to Rav Destler, which is printed in the Tshuvis Achiezer. And so we find that Reb Chaim Oizer utilized, sort of like to mold his nephew as a future leader in Klal Yisrael, because all the problems of the world that came on Reb Chaim Oizer's table, he would have, when Rav Destler was there, discuss all of the inyonim with him, to bring him into that world, to bring him into the world of Askonis, and to show him the derech of how one is supposed to treat, and to analyze, and to view, and dedicate oneself to be able to help Klal Yisrael in every way possible. He writes, Rav Destler, years later, that being in the tkufas that I spent in Vilna, he says, I had many other benefits as well. Because I had the benefits, because Reb Chaim Moses says all the various Gedol HaDor from time to time would come there. That's what happened. And I was there, and the meetings that they had, Reb Chaim Moses would allow. No one would be allowed to be there except the Gedol HaDor that were there discussing, you know, the very confidential problems. But he said, he would allow. Reb Chaim Moses allowed me to stay there. So I was privy to the conversation and to the give and take. So he writes in one of the places, he writes, I'll just tell you some of the goyim zochisi ladas ponim that I was able to know. He says, sort of like intimately. Vereisim, I saw them asufois binyona klal Yisrael. I saw them how they dealt with the problems of klal Yisrael. Chavetz Chaim zecher tzadik uvracha. Agoyim Ruchaim Brisker and Ruchaim Oizer together. I was there. He writes, bishor shechoshvu machshevoiseim vehisamku bedatom l'shem shomayim binyona klal Yisrael. I saw how they dedicated themselves completely, the Shem Shemayim, with all the problems of Klal Yisrael. Rav Destler writes to see how seriously they took the problems of Klal Yisrael. Listen to the Lashon. Hoya Hamara Noira was an awesome, It was an awesome experience. Lirois es goydel v'oymek hargoshes v'achrayes yois al peneim. Somebody says somebody else's problems, you don't take it as seriously as your own problems. But not by these Gedolei Yisrael. These Gedolei Yisrael, you can see, had the tremendous achrayes that they felt, discussing the problems of Kol Yisrael. He says it was a maranoire, b'oifim. It was such an awesome, experience to watch that, to see that. Shemish loyro ezois loyro hargoshes achrayes miyomov. You have no idea what it means to be makabel achrayes, to take achrayes, to take responsibility. To see this tremendous maimed, he says, that these gedolei yisrael, as they were sitting there discussing, pondering, trying to solve the various issues, the problems that they had there in Klal Yisrael. He says, whoever was there, for chomish zocha lamed lifneim b'shach kazu. This is what Rav Dessler writes. Whoever had the schus to be there and to watch them, ho yiboru loy, it was clear to him. You could actually see the presence of the Shechina there. But these Gedolei Yisrael. B'chiruach HaKodesh, Shorsa b'chaburosam. And there's no question, he says, when they were able to feel, it was tangible. The Ruach HaKodesh that was there at the time. Mamish, he says, if you make an observation between this type of Nasifa, the gathering of these Gedolei Yisrael. Now there's many organizations that make Asifas. But if you want to compare this Asifa of these Gedolei Yisrael to other meetings, know what he says? Mamish roi Eloima hamavdil ben kodesh l'choil. Al hevdel shebein asifoy seyem lebein hu asifoy that we are used to. Rav Dessler includes himself. She'onu merg that we are, now that we are used to. This is tremendous, tremendous gavlus. And finally, just one more nekuda. He writes something that a person has to observe the world. And by observing the world, life is supposed to be an open Musa sefer. Life is supposed to be an open Musa sefer. By Poshut, looking and observing the world. So he writes when he was in Siberia, that was, he says, year 1918 with the Bolsheviks and so on and so forth. And then he was from here and there, and they were wandering. And the sorrows that they went through. And so there was a tkufa that he spent time in Siberia. Siberia, there's wild animals. So he writes as follows. It's just an amazing thing what he writes. He says, when I was forced to wander, he says, in the plains of Siberia, I saw the following. He saw a pack of wolves, all of them vying for a dead animal. Everybody, each wolf wanted to eat up, had the opportunity to be able to consume that animal. Adas the Avim Ra'avim, he says. There was a whole pack, he says, of the Avim Ra'avim, hungry wolves. Rotzim u'mechapsim zoinam. All running to and fro, right? Searching for the food. The Yimtzu, he says, Nevelas Chayikatana. And here they come upon, right, the body, the carcass of the small animal, mushleches al darkom, the yikvesu kulam. So all of them, you say like chayes, yeah. So all of them together, the yikvesu kulam. So they all pounced. He says muvuholim udchufim, which says in the Megillah there, rotzim udchufim, and that with ferocious excitement. They all pounced together with ferocious excitement. He says avlo yochlu lechel teref, but hardly anyone was able to eat from it. You know why? This is what he saw. He said, because they call echad kofes al gabe chaveroi. Because each one was attacking the other. Each wolf was attacking the other. So Mamela, he writes, v'yitchofenu mibli hishel oimokim. Each one was pushing the other one aside, right? Not giving anyone a space. So he says as follows, v'koi noshchu zezeh. And it was not just that we're pushing aside. But one wolf and the other were biting each other. V'yilchamu zebezeh. So each one now were fighting with one another. Adash kulam hoye pesuim, they all were wounded. The yozav domam l'roif, and they were all bleeding, wounded and bleeding. He says, the koy nilchemu, and they kept fighting until he says, adash kulam nisharu mutolim al gaba hashelik chaseve oinim. All of them without any koyach, poshet oizgeshept in ganzen. Mamish till then, to the last bit, no more energy left whatsoever. He says, brakachodim. They were just, he says, Rakachodim hagiboyrim behem. Those wolves that were the real giboyrim, heimo somu shineim benevela. They ended up putting the teeth, he says, in the nevela. So he says, the tava regas, as goes by, he says, a moment, and he sees the following, he sees. Vihine, he says, gamela, he says. He finds, he says, the sophist, he says, even those who won, he says, was a bloody victory, he says. Even those wolves that ended up eating the Nevel was a bloody, bloody victory. He says, "Baraisis hamanatzeach rotz merochik." I saw the wolf that won at the end, right, the gibber. I see him running from a distance. V'nei kol darkoi on this path filled with blood, dripping blood. This is the winner. This is the gibber. The gibber. He says, as he was running away already, he was running. He says, and the whole path was dripping with blood. Midomai eshezov mipitzoev horabim, from the many wounds. Ashipitzoev chaverov. So I said to myself, "Hein bedomayu." It cost him blood, but guess what? He's not hungry anymore. That's benafshoy yovilachmoy. The person who fights for his bread, benafshoy, it could have cost him his life too. It's benafshoy yovilachmoy. But he says, but it comes out, 95% of them ended up hungry, and bloody, and come out dead. He says, I realize that this is the moshel of Bnei Adam. That's what's happening in this world, he says, I realize also, b'zichroini, that's exactly Moshe Bnei Adam. People are competing this world. Beating our competing word, one is trying to outdo the other, and each and everyone ends wounded and wounded and wounded. Many of them not only end up wounded, they end up wounding and they have not achieved anything through all this competition, all this stepping on each other's toes, stepping over one another, he says. And even the one that makes it hardly comes out alive, he says, dripping with blood, as he points out. So what does he have from his Netzachim? So what is it worth? He said, what's it going to be worth? And he says, and the fact is, and Roiv Olam and most of the world are the losers, not even the winners, he says. Roiv Olam Munutzachim, he says, Betachrusam, in the competition. So this is something, he says, he saw an observation, and he took it very, very seriously to understand, this is us. We human beings, we do the same thing, in a different way. But at the end of the day, this is the behavior of human beings as well. Not much different. But this is a lesson that we have to take. When you actually see blood, we have to realize what's happening in our own lives. This is a similar situation, is that we are able to destroy ourselves, partially because of this kind of a competition, pursuing materialism. So we go, Rabbi, let's take a look now. What we're up to here in the Mirta Melio, we're up to page 10, actually. It's page 10, Omnom. It's the second paragraph on the top, fourth line from the top, Omnom. Okay, it's actually in the middle of an essay. Just to remind ourselves, the title of the essay was where Adessa raised a number of questions. What does it mean, Elikeinu v'lekei avaseinu, lekei Avraham, lekei Yisrael, lekei Yaakov? What does it mean that we expect? That we expect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have extra rachmanis on us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pardon us, as it were. Because we happen to have some sort of a yichus. Would it make sense that if two people come before a judge, both doing the same crime, one of the criminals happens to be a son of the friend of a judge, so therefore the judge should give him a lenient, right, judgment over the other one, both doing the same. The other wasn't privileged to be born as the son of a friend. So what does it mean, Elikeinu v'lekei avaseinu? But we had last week, just on the way, on the hachonah to answer the question, Rav Dessler just set some guidelines just in the beginning. How are you supposed to look at a question? A Yid looks at a question of something maybe that he would try to solve, but the question never determines whether a person's emunah, how one should believe or not. The belief of a Yid is already confirmed before that. The question is merely something that he may want to ponder, but not that the answer, if he has or he does not have an answer, will not determine the truth, because whether you have an answer or you don't have an answer, that is subjective. It means you don't understand it. Doesn't mean that anybody else doesn't understand it, and so that Kosh Baruch Hu certainly understands what he does. And therefore, our private questions, or any question, should not in any way stand in the way of the emunah of the Yid. And now he goes on further. And he says as follows. Omnom, he says, Me'usher ani hapam. He says, in this particular instance, discussing this topic, he says, I'm very happy. He says, I'm very happy to say, Shezikane Hashem Yisborach, Limtsoi Dvorim Gedoilum, Mevarurim Es Hashayilois Shehigdamnu. I'm very happy, he says, unfortunately, because Baruch gave me this chus to discover. He said, an important key. He says, to be able, right, to understand the questions that we refer to above. Elikeinu v'lekei avaseinu, what does it mean if we are chayiv bidin? Then what is the whole idea of midas harachman based upon from where we come from, where we originated from? V'yosem says, and more than that, he says, ki yiru lonu hadvarim es haderech yishkoim ba'oir. It will help us, what I'm going to say now, says Rav Dessler, it will help us to shed light on several other problems which we may have to face. All types of problems. And he says, Dvarim Nefloim Hema. He says, and they are really Dvarim Nefloim, they're Peladigi things. And basically the Yesod is based upon Motzosim. He says these wonderful insights, these Dvarim Nefloim, these wonderful insights, he says, Motzosim b'kizvei kodesh, in the holy writing, shel Morono Rabbeinu Chaim Mevoloshin Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Talmid ha'amuvik shel Agro Zatzal. As we know, famous Talmud of the Vilna Goyim. Ve'elu Dvarav b'sifroi, he says, Haron. These are his words. These are his words in his great work. He says, Haron v'haniso ruach chaim al masech tesovis perik, hey? In one of the Chumashurim, we actually came upon some of these lines of Reb Chaim Volozhin in Sefer Ruach Chaim. Just to make a very small hagdoma, because he doesn't bring that in the Kudah, but he brings actually the conclusion of the essay of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin, basically, he asked the question with, Avraham Avinu's name is mentioned quite a number of times in Pirkei Avos. For example, it says, Asara Doiris, it says, Menoyach ad Avraham. The 10 generations. 10 generations from Adam Rishon until Noyach. And there are 10 generations, Menoyach ad Avraham. But it doesn't say Avraham Avinu. The title of Avinu is not mentioned. But when it says the 10 Nisyonis, Asor Nisyonis, Nisnas Avraham Avinu. Why is Avraham Avinu, when it comes to the test, why then, right, do Chazal add the adjective, or define him as Avinu? He always was Avinu. Yet sometimes, or most cases, in the Mishnah Novice, he's not mentioned as Avinu. But when it comes to the test, when it comes to the particular test of the Asor Nisyonis that he had to undergo, he's referred to as Avraham Avinu. So Chaim Elojim brings down the Posik. It's a Posik in Mishlech Chof Dalet. Mishlech Chof. Posik says, Mishalach B'tumoy Tzadik Ashrei Bono Vachrov. There's a Posik. Let's touch that Posik. It's a Posik in Mishlech. Posik says, Mishalach B'tumoy Tzadik. A Tzadik who walks in his perfection. B'tmimis. Mishalach B'tumoy Tzadik. If a Tzadik walks in his perfection, right? So he says, Ashrei Bonov Achrov. Shlomo Melech says, happy are his children after him. Okay, so what does that mean? Shlomo Melech says, Mishalach B'tumoy Tzadik. A Tzadik who walks in perfection, his children can be happy after him. What does that mean? Says here Reb Chaim Volozhin, and actually, before he mentions the actual words, Rav Dessler's, these are actually Rav Dessler's words at first. What it means is, he says, this is our very problem. He says, this essay, these words coming up now from Chaim Volozhin, this really addresses our very problem. He says, Nosim Aleif. So let's pay attention. Nosim Aleif v'nira eich ha'grach mevari. Let's see how Gon Reb Chaim, how he explains the words in Shlomo Melech. A tzaddik walks in his perfection. So he says, Ashrei bono vachrov. And these are now, you see in the quotation marks, this is now the phrase of the words of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin says as follows. Reb Chaim says, Ki kama midois, he says, there are many midois, there are many attributes. Sha tzadik torach v'yoga lasigon. Right? There are many attributes that the tzadik worked very hard to attain them. You work on your midois, you work on your character. So let's assume that there are certain attributes that the tzaddik worked very hard. You know what says Reb Chaim? For the children won't be hard anymore. For his children will not be hard. Lebon of Achrov, these are the words of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Lebon of Achrov, he says, for his children, right, that come after him, Heimo kamoy teva mutva. For his children already, he says, that'll come naturally. The tzaddik had to work for it. But once he already worked for it, it became ingrained in him. Those midos that the tzaddik had to work hard for, to acquire them, they now become ingrained, they become like part of his genetic makeup. So now when he has children, they yarshin already, the fruits of his yigiyah. They don't have to work so hard for these attributes. Because they become already second nature, as he points out. They become a second nature. And Mamela, he says, ubiksas yigiyah yagiyoloze. And they could achieve it with little effort. So this is Reb Chaim. With little effort. So, says Rav Dessler, says, let's explain that. The tzaddik works hard to attain certain midos, and the children will follow naturally. They don't have to really work so hard, but they have to want to have those same midos. They have to want it. So he explains as follows. L'chayre, he says, it would seem, Dvarim pshutim heimo, hamilim haksoris ve'elut. These two lines, or 1.5 lines, Rav Dessler, that I just quoted from Reb Chaim, it would seem to be that there's nothing special in these words, and you might pass them by hastily without realizing, he says, the true significance. You can just look it off very quickly. You might even miss the point. You might miss the point to understand. To understand exactly, he says, but I want you to know, he says, Achloi Kenhu. These words, he says, are very fundamental. And he says, worlds are built on these ideas and foundation. He said, Dvarim Halolu Oimdim Ruma Shalolim. Literally, he says, they stand to the very heights of the universe. Right? The very heights of the universe. Now, there's something that you're going to see that is going to bring out here. And you might remember, we had it not so long ago. Actually, in the Chumash here, I believe it was Parshas Vayera. Those that were there the Shabbos morning might remember. Rav Destler has an essay, which is this, by the way, we're learning now. This is just bringing down a few lines of that particular, it was a lengthy essay, which has a whole essay which talks about the idea of Bechira, but free will. And Rav Destler brought up the point of Nekudas HaBechira. Remember, Rav Destler brought up, there's the point called Nekudas HaBechira. Here he touches upon it ever so lightly, but the basic idea is when you talk about Nekudas HaBechira, so Rav Destler, which he really points out, and he says that, demonstrates when he says, when you have enemies that are fighting, he says, when the truth is that, is when you have enemies, he says, that are fighting, so it comes out that when enemies are fighting, the battle lines, the battlefront, where they are fighting is on the front where they are fighting. That is the location. But the rest of the country, right, which is not the battlefront, there the war actually is not even felt so much. However, what happens is when one side, when the enemy overpowers, successful overpowering, then it moves into the territory of the other side, and then the battle lines move further. The line move further. As much more as is conquered. As is conquered, right, so it moves over further, more and more. So Rav Destler points out and says that regarding the milchama of a person, when you talk about bechira, bechira really means is only in the area. Bechira, the definition of bechira, when you talk about bechira, bechira, he says, is only in the area where a person has tension, is conflict, where there's tension between falsehood and truth. Where there's tension between falsehood and fruit, in truth, that is the idea where a person has to exercise bechira. Do I go this way or do I go that way? There are certain areas in a person's life, and by the way, in the battlefront is different feature of every person. Different people have different tensions in different areas. There are areas that are called lemalim and nekudas habechira, and there are areas, for example, that has lematim and nekudas habechira. Meaning, for example, there are certain areas where you don't even have to exercise bechira. It is poshet. I believe one of the moshel that we gave, Rav also gives a similar moshel. For example, a yid was a shomer Shabbos. He was a shomer Shabbos. He never had an nisoyin. He gets up one Shabbos morning. I want to take out some raw chicken, right, and cook it on Shabbos. Shomer Shabbos, it's not even a nisoyin for him. So the fact that he's not cooking on Shabbos, that's not because he used bechira. For that, you don't need bechira. That it comes natural to him. It doesn't occur to him. I'm going to cook on Shabbos. A yid never, who's a shomer Shabbos, is going to get up in the morning and said, I'd like to take a drive. Take the car for a spin. A yid is a shomer Shabbos, to him it's not even an nisoyin. It's not even an nisoyin. What might be an nisoyin, let's say, that a yid who is a shomer Shabbos, which is another moshul, yid is a shomer Shabbos, you know, and he realizes there's a lot of guests coming for Shabbos, he uses, and he realizes there's not enough chont. Maybe he should add, do something on Shabbos, pour something with some sort of a thing. There's certain some ways, with a term, without a term. I have to warm up some more food. So there already he may have an nisoyin. Should I not? Should I not? Maybe. That's called, this kind of situation, that's called the matim in the kudus ha-bechira. This below the kudus, because why? There's no tension there. There's no need to use bechira. There's also tzara toiv also. A person never had an nisoyin, Moshe Levi, again, it was a shermatory mitzvah. I get up one morning, maybe today I shouldn't put on tefillin. So the fact that he puts on tefillin is not pshat. He has bechira, he decided to put on tefillin. He decided. He didn't think about it. It's poshet hazoy. That's not called exercising bechira. Bechira is where you have attention. Or let's say a person, let's say he has a shayla, he has some place to go. Should I daven with a minyan? Maybe should I not daven today with a minyan? Right? Should I? It'll cost him a lot of tirch if he will. So now he's thinking, should I not? That already might be in the soyim. That's his nekudas habechira, because that's by him in the soyim. Or, let's say, yidn tak in the middle of davening, right? He's sure again, that's not in the soyim. He's going to go to shul, he's going to daven the minyan. But then a cell phone rings. Should I answer or not? That's in the soyim already. That's in the soyim. Should I answer? So, this is already the situation. That's already, that's his nekudas habechira. He says, Rav Deskler says, L'moshel, it's a similar moshel, it's another type of a moshel. He says, there are certain madregas that to us, he said, the Yetzirah doesn't even try. Yetzirah Toiv doesn't even try to offer to us. There are certain things the Yetzirah Toiv, for example, he says, the Vilna, he said, never occurred to a Yid, he says, you know what, maybe I should fast today to be mechapel on the veiras of Bittul Torah that I had. Never occurred to him. The Vilna Goyim would fast for such a thing. The Vilna Goyim thought that he had some moments of Bittul Torah, he would fast. Rav Deskler says, but to us the Yetzer Toiv would not even try to offer it. Because it's something's way beyond. That's Lamalim in the Kudus Abachira. That's called already Lamalim in the Kudus Abachira. So we have no tension in those areas. I believe I mentioned, you know, there are some tzaddikim that Friday night they don't sleep at all. Because why? It says in Sifra Chassidus, Ayid has to be a Shoyim Shabbos, a Shoyim is not allowed to fall asleep. So Yetzer Toiv, I don't think he ever came to us, you know what, maybe do like those tzaddikim, don't go to sleep on a Friday. It's not part. So Nekudas HaBechira is in the area that we do have tension. Should I not? I have a strong Yetzer, I may want to do it, want to be over. That's the Nekudas HaBechira. So now, so Rav Deskler, having this in mind, I think we'll understand now what Rav Deskler is saying over here. That he has a very special essay regarding that situation. So he says as follows. So he goes and says like this. Vizehu kvar yodanu. He said, we already know. Rav Deskler said, we already know. Ki kol odom b'chol matzif shiyeh. He says, hu bal b'chire. A person, basically, every human being has free choice in every situation that he is. But he says his free choice extends always to one point. The free choice extends to one point where? At the point where truth and falsehood basically are equally balanced in his mind. Where something is clear to him that it's false and he's used not to doing it, he doesn't have attention. When something is clear to him that it's true, right, and he's used to doing it, this is what I have to do, this is bullshit, there's no tension. But where there is a shiloh in his mind, yeah, true or false, this kind of a situation, he says. His bechira is only necessary. That's called the nekudas habechira. Asher bohu kemistapek v'nekudas hamishkol. Where there's a balance, should I do it? Should I not do it? There's good reason not to do it, but I want to do it. It's desirable to do. Here he may have tension. That's his nekudas habechira. That's where he has to use the koyach of bechira. Masha einken, he says. But then there are other areas in his life has nothing to do with bechira. He's always accustomed to doing it the right way. As I said, he's a Shomer Shabbos. Yes, there's no problem with him. Should he drive on Shabbos or not? It's not using bechira not to drive. It's bullshit. He says Masha einken asher lemalu lematim in the kudazu. But then there are certain behavior patterns which is above that nekuda point. Above that. Right, Bechira point. Nekudas HaBechira. Or below, he says, Hu lemalim nekudas Bechirasa Bishozu Oilamata. So it's like this. Now, if I go on a higher Madrega, then my Nekudas HaBechira, maybe to do Toiv on a higher level, that becomes a Nekudas HaBechira already. Certain things, according to my Madrega, like you said now, a person does not even have a challenge, should I fast Sheni V'chamishi V'sheni? Very few people fast Sheni V'chamishi. So ever occurred to you, said, maybe you have tension, should I do it or not? It's not part of you. You're not Madrege. You're not thinking of fasting Bahab. You're not thinking about that. But let's say you become a bigger tzaddik. Let's say you become a Baal Madrege. And now already this is something which becomes a dilemma. Should I not? Then that's your Nekudas HaBechira. The battle fronts, right, moves. The line moves depending of how victorious one is over the other. One mide overpowers the other. Hein l'toiv, hein l'ra. And that's the Nekudas HaBechira in that particular situation. So he says, "Im tishtana madrega osa l'toiv." If Lomoshli elevates himself and he goes to a high madrega, "Oz nekudas bichirasa tisale." So now the breaking point, right? The nekudas habchira. The nekudas habchira now is on higher. The free will point now moved up. Now it moved up. He says, "Vim lehepech." And if he fell down, he fell to a lower madrega. Chaz v'shalom lehepech. Lomoshli, give the emotional. Something that bederach klal, what's considered above our free will, it means it's not even part. It's not even part of our situation of using Bechira. Lamala, for example. Lamala mi Bechira senuhu, lefi madruka senu ato. According to our present Madrega, what's Lamala min the Kudus HaBechira? Which we don't even have a challenge to do that. On the Tzad HaToiv. For example, what's Lamala Madrega, he says, would be, Lotzum lishchanein lifna Hashem Yisborach, limcholonu al oven regoim shel Bittul Torah. To us, it never occurs to us, even for a moment, maybe we should fast, for maybe because I was Mavatl Torah a few minutes here and there. We're about much more, but so we don't have that problem.
That, but then we have the Eitz HaTov doesn't even bother to try to talk us into it, because we have no shaykhus to that. So it's not that we're using Bechira not to do it or yes to do it. It's not part of our melchome, it's not part of our tension in our life. He said, Ulamata, and what's below the Nekudas HaBechira? Ulamata Bechem, Shlo Yova Yetzar. The Yetzar also, certain Aveiros Yetzar will not even try, because he knows he can't win. There's certain Aveiros, depending on the person. Depending on the person, certain Aveiros. A person, Yetzar will not come to a Yid, Zashem Temetzes, to go outright into a Trefer restaurant. Into a Trefer restaurant. But maybe, to go into a restaurant where Dashgoch is Nishtazoi. That might be a challenge. That might be a Nekudas HaBechira. As he says, "Lamata mibchiraseinu shlo yova yitzahar lefatayseinu Yisrael will not come to entice us la'ashen sigari b'shal to smoke a cigarette on Shabbos." It's not part of our attention at all. That's lamata mibchir. So the nekudas abchir is where we have a legitimate challenge: should we, should we not? And we're perturbed by that. And now we have an avoided to decide: should we do? Should we go this way? Should we go that way? So now, here's something else. Now Rav Dessler, having said that, so he says like this. Now, so according to one's madrega, then the kudus habechira shifts, goes either higher or lower, where his mokim of tension is. So he says, Vine, as far as the ovis are concerned, he says, as far as the ovis are concerned, when you talk about the ovis. This, as far as the obvious are concerned, the Hina, he says, the obvious, say parents, in other words, cannot. Parents cannot make choices for their children. That's clear. Parents cannot make choices for their children, he says. They cannot make affect the actual choice. Why? The fact is that every human being has free choice. However, says Rav Dessler, listen to this. Rav Dessler says, parents cannot determine what choices the children will make. That they can't determine. However, parents, right, and mechanchim, can decide at what level the children's bechira shall begin to operate, where the nekudas habechira will begin. In other words, because they're raised in a certain home, so now certain habits become established. So now the tension, the nekudas habechira, they said, now, this is what they've seen in the home. So the yashim from the parents where the nekudas habechira is going to be, but the choice is going to be theirs. Just because the parents chose the positive side doesn't mean the children are going to choose it. Parents will bring them up to the level where the nekudas habechira should be. That children will yashim from the parents. But children will not yashim from the parents what the actual choice will be. That's what Rav Dessler points out, and it's very interesting to see that. Look what he says. But where's the nekudah? Where will be the battlefront? At which level? However, he says, parents will decide through their own behavior and so on, at what level the nekudas habechira will be by their children. In other words, parents can only establish the starting point of a person's bechira. But what they are going to actually choose, that is already up to the banim themselves. So the children yashim from the parents, the starting point where their nekudas habechira is going to be. That's what parents determine, as he says. Matzono, for example, horaya. Horaya says, Matsana Harbor Ben Eight Sadikim Shinasu Rishoim. Because they, when they had the Nekudas HaBechira, they chose the other side. They were Rishoim. Why? In other words, so now they lowered the Nekudas HaBechira. As a result, Vayaridu is Madregas and Bechirosim Mezois Achin Hinchilam Avoisam. Mitzad with the Yashin from the parents was a certain level of Nekudas HaBechira. But they made the wrong choice. Now that they made the wrong choice, so now about it, then the nekudas habechira will also change. But metchila, when they are born, and what they get from the parents is the level of the nekudas habechira. Higher or lower, that's what they get from the parents. The actual choice that's going to be made, the parents cannot choose for them. The achtchila is bechirosom. What they get from the parents is the tchilas bechirosom. Parents establish the starting point of a person's bechira. Right? Tchilas bichirosim hoise benekuda asher hechinu lem avoseihem. He says, v'yoisim zeh, goes even more than that, because children can yarshin positive traits, natural traits. V'yoisim zeh, ki yovois merishim mimidoseihem v'rucham levneihem. He says, the truth is that parents, lemaise, right, give over target to the children. They give that over to the children. So Mamela, he says, So this is now, if we talk about Bechira, these are the inyonim to understand. Parents can give over to children up to a certain point, but whether Asher can do, how they're going to utilize it, what they're going to do, that is their own choice. So now, look further. Benirino, I want to show you, says Rav Dessler. This is something we had in quite a number of shurim in the past, I think the Shabbos morning shurim. Benirino at kam hadvorim magim. I want to show you. So let me just mention one thing, because what's coming up is here like this. That the children can also, he said, that's what he said, that children can actually inherit from their parents character tendencies and spiritual potential. They can inherit spiritual potential. Whether they're going to actualize it or not, that'll be up to them. But children can inherit from their parents, right? As he says, character tendencies, where they should be noiter in their midos, where they should be noiter. And potential, spiritual potential, right? These are two factors, right? This is the situation. Now, and he says, Horaya, he points it out, and that explains, when he renoi, he says, that kam advorim magim, look how far reaching this is, what I'm saying, he says, ki moyisev agoyin rebchaim zatzal, he says, rebchaim v'lojin v'koysev. Now he quotes further. He quotes again rebchaim v'lojin. Rebchaim v'lojin, matter of fact, says as follows, ki moyisev nira bechush. He says, we see very, very clearly, right? We've seen with our own eyes, he says. We've seen our eyes, Shirabim Amehoret Shebi Yehudim, Moisrim is Atzimom Al Kiddush Hashem. He said, there's an incredible phenomenon. We see on many occasions, people are not Tamid Chachomim at all. They're Amoratzim. Could be ignorant Jews. Nebuch, there this one is. They know nothing of Torah. Nevertheless, they readily gave up their lives for Kiddush Hashem. It's a fact in history, going back hundreds and hundreds of years. Whether it's Inquisition situations, all the different kufis, all the different kufis in history. We saw that. Where'd they come from? They didn't have the Torah background. It's what the Yarshin, those character traits from Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu, says Rav Chaim V'lojin, Avraham Avinu passed these Mesiris Nefesh tests. By him going through these tests, he had to work for it. He had to go through these Nisyonis. Being that he went through these Nisyonis, so now it became part of Avraham Avinu's natural Metzias. Once it's part of him, so all of the descendants of Avraham Avinu, Yarshin, these natural Koyches from Mesiris Nefesh. So it comes from Avraham Avinu. As a matter of the answer to the Kash, because people ask him, well, what was the big deal? People ask Kash, in Svarim talk about it. What was the Gvaldiga thing? Avraham Avinu was ready, the Akedah, or himself, when Nimrod wanted to throw him to the Kipshon Oesh, right? Unless he's Makabal upon himself, Avodah Zarah, he has to reject the Boi Roilam. Avraham Avinu was ready for Mesiras Nefesh, as we know, he allowed himself to be thrown to Kipshon. What's the big deal? We saw much later, we saw Yidin go al Kiddush Hashem. We saw Yidin throughout the ages, far from the Madrig of Avraham Avinu. That says they got it from Avraham Avinu. That's the answer, they got it from Avraham Avinu. They got it from Avraham Avinu. That's why I'm trying to give other terusim. They got it. The Tanya says that every Yid has an Ahava Musteris, writes the Tanya. Every Yid has it. Every Yid, by virtue of the Neshama that he has with himself, has Ahava Musteris. Means there is there's inside a Yid, there is a hidden Ahava, love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, it is covered over, like you have layers of mud to cover over. You got a precious jewel, right? That's covered over. But when you begin to peel away, right, then it emerges. It says, every Yid, and Yid Mashir. In other words, whatever his behavior was, is like covering it over with another blanket, covering it over. But when push comes to shove, it ignites that little spark, which is there. And every Yid has it, and that now begins to flare up. The Neshama begins to flare up, and brings up the natural Ahava to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So this is the Tanya. But the point of Chaim Lozhin saying is, we have Yarshin this from Avram. And by the way, that's why, Asorah Nisyonis is Nasa Avram Avinu. Because being that he is Avinu, that's why we have it. That's why here it's mentioned Avinu. That's why here it says Avinu. Because the point is made, we also have those koiches. Because once Avraham Avinu already broke through, he already went through all those nisyonis. Right, he went through these nisyonis. So Avraham Avinu's test became engraved on his personality. And now those nisyonis became engraved on his, became part of his personality. So now all the descendants of Avraham Avinu, we yarshin those gevaldige koiches. So Rav Dessler says, look what he says. He says, it's an amazing thing. Ma niflahu. He says, an amazing thing. Koyach mesiras nefesh bad ruchnis. He says, take a look. From what source, you can ask Akasha, from what source does the people who have no Torah background, people have no Torah, Koyach Mesiras Nefesh Bad Ruchnis, right? That they are able, right, to have this tremendous, right, spiritual power, Bad Hashem and Bad Dvorim. Shayetzim and Agil, the Yisrael says, don't give up your life for this. Yisrael says, don't. It's not Kedai, it's not worth it. Eich efshe she'odom poshet. Said, how is it possible that an odom poshet, right, a person who had very little contact with spiritual ideals throughout his life, so he gia oidom adreges romois, who's far from hoyche madreges, yimser nafshoi. Not only that, v'gam yekelo yadover hazeh. It turns out that even he's doing it with ease, it's not even such a great nesoin for him. How's it possible? Kein loy hoye yochoyli, says lasois kocho, aval Yerusha hiloy Avrom Avinu. It's Yerusha Avinu. He's an einikel from Avrom Avinu. You're an einikel from Avinu, so you yashin these natural koiches. To show you one more thing here, Rabbi Said, just like one more paragraph, and he carries it further. He said a very interesting thing. Venera, he said, lahalam. He said, let's go. He said, let's follow a little further. V'chein, this is the Loshim Mother, he's quoting now again, Reb Chaim V'Loshim. This is from Sefer Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos. So Reb Chaim V'Loshim follows, quote, V'chein kol ha'asar nisyonis. People ask, and the Ramban, all the Rishonim ask, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the Yemes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew he's going to pass the test, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew he's going to pass the test, so I put him through it. So many different truths, I'm Ramban and so on. The Rishonim talk about it. The Barbanel, the Rambam, they all talk about it. According to Reb Chaim, the Teretz is poshet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham Avinu is going to pass the test, but by actually going through it, it becomes part of him, and now he's being meirishit to all the generations, because all of these koiches that Avraham Avinu puts into going through his actual nesiyonos, he now builds these mesiris nefesh cells. These mesiris nefesh cells now become part of his metzias. He's able to be meirishit. So Reb Chaim Gebekik, that's why all the Asarim nesiyonos. For example, all of it was this to make straight, to straighten the path for us. In other words, to make it easy for us to arrive at a certain spiritual level. Being Avraham Avinu reached such a high level now makes it easier for us. He had to really work for it. For us, it should come easier. He says, it's a well-known Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says, why do we find suddenly a Jew has an urge, he wants to make Aliyah, he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. All of a sudden, that is. You know why? It comes from the nesoyin of lech lecho, miyatzecho, melatcho. But Avinu had a lot of mesiris nefesh, right? He had to leave his father's home, had to leave everything behind to go to Eretz Yisrael. That shuk at Eretz Yisrael did not get lost. Became part of Avraham Avinu's mitzias, and therefore, Yidin have yarshened it. Yidin yarshened it, he says. That's from the nesoyin, he says, lech lecho. It's the nesoyin of lech lecho, miyatzecho, melatcho. That's where it comes from. Ubemes, he says, maniflahu. Ibemizi says, look, it's an incredible thing. It's incredible that Alpayim Alofim Shono Shagalino Matsenu. He says the fact is it's already, he says, thousands of years, right? It's thousands of years. Shagalino Matsenu the Ech Nishara Havoso Bilibenu. How is it that so many years in Gaulus and yet the Ahava, the Eretz Yisrael, is still within us? And he said, this is not nationalism, he says. This is not nationalism. Yan ki einzu etzlenu leumiyos. This is not nationalism, he says. Why? Because if it's only nationalism, it would have been forgotten so many centuries ago. Would have been forgotten, nationalism. You abandoned that which was supposed to be nationalism, you abandoned for so long. Look at other nations, he says. It's not nationalism, it's been long gone. It's past history. Because what happens is we adapt ourselves to new environments, you forget the old environment. So why do we still have this inborn love? Why is this inborn that a Yid has this shuk and this ahavat has this role? Look what happened to other nations. Right? Look what happens. If they are exiled for many, many years, they just abandon, they adapt to new surroundings, and that's where they are. I am now an American, he says. That's it. Right? There's nothing behind. I know something else. Avalahavazu tluya bekedusha. The Ahav that Yid has is because of the Kedusha that Eretz Yisrael has. The Kedusha Shebo Eretz Ahisha Somba Kodesh Baruch Hu. Voice of Kedusha Devuka Bono. We are connected to that Kedusha through whom? Through Avraham Avinu. Ki Yerusha Hi Ben Afshenim Avraham Avinu Shemosa Nafshoi. His Mesiris Nefesh. Right? Through his Mesiris Nefesh, we are now descendants of him. Lamed Ben Isoyen Shelech Lecho. And so on and so forth. Alright, so we stop here for now. Let's talk now, Rabbi, talking a little bit about Mesiris Nefesh. Let's take a little bit on the sheet and see a little bit also about Mesiras Nefesh, to take a look, to see how it goes in different areas. So we have it from the Sefer Tuvcha Yabiu in Parshas Bo. It's a very cute word, as you're going to see over here. It's actually a word from one of the Choshev Balamusar, Shalav Rafu Shalem, Rabbi Yankel Galinsky. And Bianca Levinsky was here also, spoke a few times in Shul and also by Shalashudis. And he once mentioned, he started his shmuz, that Shalashudis, he started and he said like this. He said, we're living in a world, he said, where there's no midos. He says, all the midos became bottle, except one midah. Midah connected midah still is here. This is the way he started it. Shduka midas, he says. There's no midas anymore. We do midas, but goyim do midas. Fili yid noch nish duka. But midi connected midas. He said, that midas, he said, did not get lost. There's a cheshbon for everything you do. This is how we started. All right, Rabbi said. So let's take a look. Now, Yochum Parai Lailo. Remember by Makas Bukhairis. Moshe Rabbeinu predicted, and by the way, he was batting 1,000. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said by the Yesha Makas, everything happened to be true. He told him there was going to be Makas Bukhairis, right? It wasn't going to be Makas Bukhairis, and certainly it happened. Paro gets up in the middle of the night, right? There's a tzo'oka in Eretz Mitzrayim. The Yochum Paro Belailo. Let's take a look here. Lacha Shemoshe Rabbeinu Hoidil Paro Al Makas Bechayris Hu Amura Lovoy Al Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling me clearly that Makas Bechayris is coming. Nemer Beparashu Seinu by Yochum Paro Lailo. That's okay. What does Rashi say? The Rashi B'moka Moimra Mimitosoy. Maika Mashmul and Rashi. Pasuk says Paro got up. Rashi says from his bed. What's Rashi saying here? The Yochum Paro Belailo. That's what the Pasuk says. Rashi says, you know where? From the bed. What does Abal Musa see over here? Abal Musa sees a tremendous thing in Rashi. The Yovei HaShoyel VeYishal. The question is, Paro, first of all, how can Paro, Rabbi Isaac, Paro heard Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that every firstborn is going to die. Wouldn't you think that he'd be sit down like, no. How is he able to go into bed and to lie down and sleep? It's not like Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him something for the first time that seems something irrational, something ridiculous. So far, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu told him is going to happen, happened. So now he hears Makas Bechayris, and it happened. How is he able to go back into bed and to sleep? How's he shaykh? You have to be a rocket scientist to see that when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say, 9 out of 10 times it happened already. Now this is the 10th time. It's going to happen again. It's going to happen. So v'yishal ha'shoyel v'yishal parish v'moy ein of roh kesev v'nofla adato v'nivir Moshe Rabbeinu af milo aso. Parish saw till now that exactly whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said, right? Whatever Moshe said, not even one word failed to come true. Everything came true. V'chol teish ha'makes shuhuf techul ha'mitzrayim hiskayim v'bimeduik. V'hine hu shemeya atam ha'moshe. Now he is Moshe Rabbeinu azor ha'mufreshes al-makeh ne'sefes. Now he is going to come on with makeh. Ha'chamur ha'mikum. By the way, this makeh is worse than all. Makas Bechayres, Hamishamesh is Lovel Lehatsoy, which is Mamish ready, it's ready to come. Vahoylech, Lisha and Kilo Laira Dover. How do you explain it? So he says, Nizboinen at Kama Hadvorim Tumun. Now he wants to realize, to understand, tangible, to understand how ridiculous it would seem what Paro did. He said, imagine, he says, in a Moshul, if somebody would have gotten a dramatic piece of news, right, that on a certain date, right? There's going to be a terrible earthquake. The thousands of people are going to die. Mamish. And the reporter who reports that, right, was reporting in the past, and everything happened exactly the way he said. So if you're going to hear that earthquake, you're going to go to sleep in your bed just as though, when you know Mamish is supposed to happen now, it would be impossible to sleep. Impossible. He said, imagine, L'moshel hoysa miskabeles hoidoa dramatis. It's a dramatic idea. Al re'idas adoma, right? An earthquake. Shetisrachish halcholila b'yoim ployini b'shoa ployinis. Right? You get an idea that earthquakes are going to happen so and so then and then. Harei Misho Hailovis is his pyjama, he says. He says, somebody wearing pajamas. Bahoilam Bishozu Lishan on Mitosoi. He says, such a person you have to put him, he says, into, you know where you have to put him. Hairoil Ishpazoi Bebeschoilam Lachoil Nefesh. You put him in psychiatric ward. Right? The guy knows there's an earthquake pending right now and you're going to sleep. Loikain. Right? Is it not so? Loike? It's a question. Is it not so? Pekeitz at kol ador zeh paroi? Paroi? Paroi lo yishos liboi la'azor l'moris yis shlohoi lamrut shloi sofi b'liboi shadvoi mismash mishu. There's no sofik in his mind that's going to happen. V'hoi lechlishin kelir adover? V'teres hagri galinsky. So Rabbi Yan Galinsky says follows. He says, this is the discipline of how Kodesh Baruch Hu created in terms of midois. And here says a gewaldige thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu boris alomai ben hogi kizu. He says, "Shekasha yesh koyach kedusha hapoil benoisim mesuyim." When there is a strong force of kedusha, there's a balance. In other words, in the Sfarim, it's called zel umazel osalakim. There has to be a balance, because if there won't be a balance, then there will not be a real bechira. If there be too much kedusha outweighing the forces of tumah, right? Then the nisoyan certainly you have kedusha. Then, on the other hand, too much tumah, you won't be able. You have to. It's called zel umazeh. When there's a strong force of kedusha in one area, there's a similar force on the other side as well. That's the balance. Gozel umazeh. By the way, lazozel, the sifra chasidus say, the soy lazozel, azozel is roshetev zel umazeh osalukim. Zel umazeh. There's a balance. So tzorachli he borei kenegdo, because Baruch creates, right, kenegdoi, he says, koyach shel tumah. Kach hinig odon habriya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of the world, bibriyosoi. Koyach hakdusha. Now, in our situation, if you want to find a parallel situation to the Pari situation we're talking about, where's on the tzara kedusha? On the tzara kedusha, what do you find? Koyach hakdusha benudeh hoye eistel Avram Avinu benoiso akedo. Take a look, the Haino. Says this is a beautiful word. I want you to imagine something he says. I want you to imagine. He says, listen to this. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu would come over to the average Yid and say, Moshe, Moshe, Yankel, Yankel, I have a bakasha to you. He says, I want you to take your only son. Tomorrow I want you to shecht him. Why don't you to shecht him? Assuming that you're able to do it. But you think you can go to sleep the night before? You say, my son has only another 12 hours to live. I have to be the one to shecht. You wouldn't be able to go to sleep the night before. Avraham Avinu did go to sleep. He was able to go to sleep. Because the koich hakedusha of Avraham Avinu was so stark, whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu did, there was no different mitzvah to him and his madrega than putting on film. You know you can put on film tomorrow the night before I can go to sleep. It's a problem. Morgen like film, morgen again shecht nitzchok. What's the problem? What's the right of Avraham Avinu went to sleep? By Yashem Avraham Baboiker. He didn't go to sleep, why have to get up? So you see on the Koyach HaKedusha, there's such a strong Koyach HaKedusha that you can go to sleep when it comes to do a mitzvah no matter how the Nisoyan is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates such a Koyach Batumoch. You can go to sleep when there's forces of Tumoch. You can go to sleep no matter what happens, no matter what the Nisoyan is. That's the other side. You can go to sleep when there's a Nisoyan of Kedusha in front of you. You can go to sleep when there's an sign of tumah for you also. That's true. The koyach of tumah is so strong. Now, as he points out, look what he says. He says, Kashoim Rom Lyodim, when you tell a person that Shemocher Wutzorech, he says, Lo'oilas Benoy Yechidoi, Asher Oha, Velishchet Oisla Gabim Zeh, Hayim Yochel Abbas Shekozeh, can such a father go, Volechas Lishin Belaila Shlifta Shchite, Hayim Yalab Yodel Hirdim, were you able to go fast asleep? He's telling him to go to sleep. He's telling him to go to Bimal. Rather, he's telling him to go to Shech Yitzchok. For Abu Hagod Lazen, this great father, Hamis Azeh Bibitochin Mole, right? Who girdles himself with complete Bitochin de Boiroi. For Yadayani knows she called Sivuyav Heim Barachmin Gedoilim. For Mavino sees only Rachmin, whatever Hashem tells him to do. Even though it appears on the outside, how shechting your son? Avraham Avinu sees only Rachmim. Vehem boim le'oilam ach v'rakedei le'heitiv le'prata le'klal. And it has to be for the benefit of the world, for him and for everybody. Hoylech lishen al mitosoi. Avraham Avinu has no problem. He goes to sleep. A night before has to shecht the sun. La teire me'id al-kach. Kenem aviyashkim Avraham Baboike. So go further now. Zeh koyach ha'kidush yishol Avraham Avinu. Hamisalim, he's able to wipe out any side hergeshim. He's able to blot out from kol hergeshim all the natural, right? All the natural hargoshes, he blocks out because they threw the rotzon abayre. The natural hargoshes, the love for a father to a son, he has to now block it out. So the umosoi nivre koyach shel tuma etzel paro hirosha. So on the contrast, on the other side also you have that koyach, shekasher medim loyal makas b'chayres, who mesuga lahavgin, he can demonstrate, choysa ichpatiyos. I just don't care. The I don't care can be also to extreme. It's a big I don't care. Capital I don't care, he says. Ad kere kach, she'ein loy malase b'yisoy, raklishin b'shalve, he says, al mitosoy. So he says here that this is Rav Yisrael Zilberstein, is a shvoger to Rav Chaim Kanevsky. So he says, Harav Morad Asra Hoysev, that's Rav Yisrael Zilberstein, was Moisev. Shagrach Kanevsky adds, Shematzino Mikra Noisev, Im Ruach Kedusha Shigazeh. We find a similar thing, like such a gewaldige koich of Kedusha. It's a Yoin Anobi. Hasfino Oimedes Lehishoveh. The boat is ready right to fall apart. He's in the Yam. The boat's ready to fall apart. Galay Hayam, the waves, Menanimis Noisev, are shaking the travels, Mitzad al Zab. For who hoylech liyachas yasfina v'nirdom, malach o'nirdom.
seems that you could have such a madrega of a munah kodesh baruch hu. So this is the koyach we're talking about. The kapon, this is mesiras nefesh. Okay, this, so you can see this on both sides. The kapon that we see, a kapon, this is the gewaldige koyach Avraham Avinu by the Akeda. So we have to realize it didn't go to waste, because Avraham Avinu, which means to say, is that we are kapon, have to realize, and not to underestimate our koyches. We have Yarshim Avinu, the tremendous koyches, but the bechir is by us. The parents, grandparents cannot make the choices, but they can put the nekudas abchir on a level that we should have the ability to do it. Yerushalayim, we should be able to fulfill it.
Amen.